And if you'll turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. And the last verse of the fifth chapter. Preaching a series on the attributes of God. And today we're dealing with the fact that He is perfect and unchanging. And I'm looking forward to preaching about our wonderful God this morning. Just one verse to start us off. Jesus said, "Therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect." Let us pray together. Father, we do thank You that You are perfect, that You are the unchanging God, same yesterday, today, and forever. And we pray, Lord, as we contemplate Your glory, that our hearts will be drawn to You. Lord, that we will understand how these attributes apply to our personal lives. And may we become more and more like You. And we pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, in the Old Testament, God revealed Himself to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as He was preparing to establish a new holy nation through whom He would save the world from the curse of sin. And yet that happened some 4,000 years ago. And then God revealed Himself to Moses and the children of Israel. And that happened over 3,500 years ago. Then God took on human flesh when His Son became man. And yet that was 2,000 years ago. The book that you may be holding right now, the Bible, was written almost 2,000 years plus ago. How can such an ancient book have any relevance to today? In fact, some would say that anything beyond the back in the 1990s is out of date and to be rejected, much less something written B.C. But what is the link between the past and the present and the future? Well, that link is the unchanging God. That what God said in the past, what God has done in the past, is relevant today because He is the perfect, unchanging God. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Now, times have changed, but God has not changed. Circumstances have changed, but God has not changed. And we're going to see how the same God that revealed Himself to the fathers in the past is the same God of today. And we must know Him and we should worship Him. And so I want to start off this morning with what I think is the foundation of the fact that God is the unchanging God. And that is the fact that God is perfect. Now, how many perfect people do you know? None, except God. God is perfect. And Jesus Himself said so in Matthew 5:48. "Therefore you shall be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect." And because God is perfect, the following is true. First of all, His being is perfect. He is perfect in His being. He does not lack anything, but He is complete, lacking nothing. He is absolutely perfect. We've already talked about in this series about the fact that God is omnipotent, that God has all power. We talked about the fact that God is omniscient. He knows all things. He is absolutely perfect, lacking nothing. He is full of mercy and grace. He is complete, perfect, lacking nothing in His person. Now, one application we can make from the fact that God is perfect is the application that Jesus Himself makes in verse 48. Therefore, you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. You know, we talked about the attributes of God, and some, like His omniscience and omnipotence, cannot be transferred to us. But many of His attributes can be transferred to us. We can become loving. We can become gracious. We can become merciful. We can indeed be endowed with His strength. Yes, God is perfect. And therefore, we should strive to be more and more like God in our daily lives. In fact, in Genesis 17:1, God says to Abraham, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. Be blameless, God said. And I like the way He identified Himself. He said, I am Almighty God. Only the Almighty God can enable us to live a blameless life. And then in Deuteronomy 18:13, God said to His people Israel, you shall be blameless before the Lord your God. The New Testament talks about pastors and deacons living a blameless life. And so indeed, we are to strive toward a full Christian maturity. We are to reject sin in our lives and to live in obedience to the Lord. We are to live blameless lives. Likewise, in James chapter 1, in verse 4, it says, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Now, folks, let's be honest here. Until Jesus transforms us, when He comes again, or until we go to heaven, we will not be perfect in this life. There will always be sin. There will always be imperfection. But yet God wants us to constantly strive toward perfection, toward full Christian maturity. And we see in James 1:4 that God even uses the trials of our lives to make us stronger and more complete and more mature in our Christian lives. And then in Colossians chapter, Paul said in Philippians 3:12, not that I had already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. Now, if anyone could have received or been perfected in this life, it would have been the Apostle Paul. But he himself said, I'm not there yet. But just because I'm not there yet doesn't mean I don't strive toward that goal. That I don't ever press toward that goal of living fully the way God wants us to live. And likewise in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 28, Colossians 1:28, he says, Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom that we may present every man perfect or mature or complete in Christ Jesus. And because God is perfect, because God is complete, because God is without flaw, that should be our goal that we strive for. Now, folks, I would rather strive toward Christ-likeness and miss it by 10, 20, 30% than to not strive at all and to not be anything like Christ. And so God is perfect, therefore we should strive toward that as our goal. But something else we know about God is this, is that His works are perfect. Deuteronomy 32 and verse 4 says, He is the rock, His works are perfect. Let me give you one example. He gave His law to Israel. Was there any flaw in the law? Absolutely not. The flaw was not with the law, but with humanity. That's where the problem was. Psalm 19:7 says, "The law of the Lord is perfect." Now, since God is perfect, then we expect God's Son to be perfect in His works as well. Indeed, in Mark 7:37, they said of Jesus, He does all things well. Jesus did everything perfectly well, just like His heavenly Father. And may God help us to be more like Jesus. And whatever God asks us to do, that we do it well. That we reflect His glory in doing things well. And then furthermore, His ways are perfect. 2 Samuel 22, verse 31 says, "As for God, His way is perfect." His way is perfect. Oh yes, the ways of God are perfect. But have you ever heard someone question the ways of God? Maybe there's some tragedy that happens in their lives and they wonder how God could allow this to happen. But listen, folks, God is perfect and His ways are perfect according to the Word of God. You can count on that. And so the Bible declares that God is perfect. No flaw, no shortcoming in God whatsoever. And because God is perfect, the next truth follows quite logically. And that is that God does not change. This is called the immutability of God. It is that perfection by which He is devoid of all change. Immutability refers to that self-consistency that pervades all that God says and does. And this immutability of God is clearly taught in the Word of God in several places. For example, in Malachi 3:6, God says, "I am the Lord, I do not change." Likewise, in Exodus 3:14, remember, God revealed His name to Moses, and His name means, "I am that I am." That name means that God is the ever-present One. He is the God of the eternal past. He is the God of the eternal future. And the fact is, the same God of the eternal past is the same God of the eternal future. His name supports the immutability of God. And then James 1:17 says, "Every good and perfect gift is from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning." No variation, no shadow of turning in God whatsoever. He changes not. And once again, if God the Father does not change, then we would expect God the Son, likewise, not to change. And Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8 says, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever." God does not change. Folks, the concept of an evolving, changing God is totally contrary to the Word of God. Even reason teaches us that no change is possible in a perfect God. For Him to change, He would either have to change for the better or He would have to change for the worse. But God cannot change for the better. God cannot change for the worse. He is always the same because He is perfect. A.W. Tozer tried to illustrate it this way. He said, "As gold is an element in itself and can never change nor compromise, but is gold wherever it is found, so God is God, always only, fully God, and can never be other than He is." Yes, God never changes. It's like gold never changes in its essence. From generation to generation. The immutability of God is in stark contrast with the gods of the ancient world. The gods of the ancient world were largely patterned after the image of man. And one thing about these gods was they were capricious. You never knew what they were going to be like on any particular day. They could change from day to day. I suppose they even could evolve to some degree. But God changes not. Furthermore, the immutability of God is certainly in contrast with the mutability of man. Man is in constant change, constant flux. We weep, and then we laugh. We work, and we play. We are constantly changing. The mutations that we're aware of in this falling world is part of the curse of sin. God changes not, but man is constantly changing. And oftentimes, for the worse. God is perfect. We are not. We're the ones who needs to change. And there's a lot of change that man experiences, which is not for the better, but is for the worse. Every society tends to get better, and then it begins to deteriorate. And I'm afraid our American society is in that downward cycle right now. And the change is, for the most part, not for the better. But I'm thankful that the God who changes not is the God who can enable us to change for the better, to become more and more like Him. And it begins with repentance. When we repent of our sins and put our faith in Jesus Christ, then God can change us from the sinner we were to the godly Christian that He wants us to be. He can change the drunk into someone who is sober. He can change the thief into someone who is honest. He can change the lewd person into someone who is pure. God is in the business of changing lives. So radical is the change that God can create in us that the Apostle Paul compares the change in our former self to the old man and the new man, which is created in righteousness after the image of Him, after the image of God. Yes, until you're born again, all you have is the life of Adam. But when you're born again and indwelt by the Holy Spirit, you have new life within you and you become a new creature in Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 3:18 describes this change and the process of it. He says, "And we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are transformed into the same image from glory to glory." Yes, God is in the business of changing lives to become more and more like Him. Oh, we live in a world where people's attitude toward us can change in a moment, from favor to disfavor. But aren't you glad that you have a God who never changes? His love for you is constant. His concern for you is constant. Many times the Old Testament says His mercy endures forever. The same Son of God who stretched out His arms and said, "Come unto Me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." That same God is with us today. And so God never changes. And since He never changes, the following is true. His being does not change. His characteristics, His attributes do not change. In Romans 1:23, Paul called God the incorruptible God. Now, as we grow older, what happens to us? We change. You know, the hair turns gray and the teeth start falling out and you can't, gotta have glasses and, you know, you have all these changes that take place. And I tell you what, you think you're changing now, wait until you die. Man, your body, short of embalming, would totally change in just a few days' time. We are corruptible, but we serve an incorruptible God. That is why He does not change. And then furthermore, Psalm 102, 26 to 27 says, they, talking about us, will perish, but you will endure. They will all grow old like a garment, like a cloak. You will change them, but they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years have no end. He has an incorruptibility whereby it's impossible for Him to change. He will not grow older. He will not gain new powers or lose them. He will not grow wiser. God is always the same in His being. Oh, what a wonderful day that's going to be when we become like God, where we are no longer living in corruptible bodies, but when Jesus comes again, we'll have incorruptible bodies that will never decay, never grow old, never have pain, amen, never have problems whatsoever. We're going to become like God. And Romans 8:29 says that He has predestined us to be conformed to the image of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, yes. The day is coming when we will no longer grow old. We will no longer experience change for the worse. That we will be complete in Him. But not only does His being not change, but furthermore, His character does not change. His attributes do not change. A good king may become a bad king. A person of goodwill can become cranky and ornery. But the character of God does not change, is always consistent. I find it interesting that the God of the Old Testament is truly the same God as the God of the New Testament. Let me show you an example of how God revealed Himself in the Old Testament. The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity, by no means clearing the guilty. Folks, the same God that revealed Himself to Moses is the same God of the New Testament, the same God that's alive today. He is merciful, He is gracious, He is long-suffering, He abounds in goodness and truth. He abounds in mercy. He forgives iniquity. But you know, the God of the Old Testament is also the God of the New Testament, and both reveal that He is a God of justice and wrath against sin. If you do not repent of your sin and trust in His Son Jesus Christ, then He cannot forgive you. He cannot clear the guilty. Jesus, thankfully, bore our guilt on the cross. Our sin was paid for, and so He can forgive us. But if you do not place your faith in God's Son, He cannot clear the guilty. That was true then, that is true today. His character does not and cannot change. What a wonderful blessing that is to know that when we go to God in prayer, that He still loves us, that He still cares for us, that He's still interested in what concerns us. Furthermore, His will does not change. If God does not change, then His will does not change. And how true that is. What God revealed through the prophets and apostles long ago is still His will today. His attitude towards sin is the same as when He drove Adam and Eve out of the Garden of Eden. What God's will was 2,000 years ago is still His will today. Times may have changed, but God's will has not. You know, I consider myself a theological conservative for sure, Because I think God is quite conservative. He doesn't change. His gospel will never change. His will never changes. His word never changes. What God revealed 3,500 years ago when He gave the Ten Commandments is still true today. Murder is still a sin. Adultery is still a sin. Lying is still a sin. God's will has not changed. And might I say that God's will concerning marriage has not changed. In spite of our societal evolution on this subject, God's will is still the same. When they came to Jesus and asked Him about the subject of divorce, what did Jesus do? He said, "What was it in the beginning?" And He proceeded to quote from the Genesis account. Have you not read that He who made them at the beginning made them male and female, and the two shall become one flesh? Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate. Now, our society can change all day long, but God hasn't changed. His word hasn't changed on this subject. Marriage is intended by God to be between one man and one woman for life. That is His perfect will, and that will never, ever change. God's will does not change. Furthermore, His purposes do not change. In Hebrews 6:17, the author talks about the immutability of His counsel, His plans, and His purposes. 1 Samuel 15:29 says, "The strength of Israel," talking about God, "will not lie nor relent, for He is not man that He should relent." Likewise, Numbers chapter 23 and verse 19 says, "God is not a man that He should lie, nor a son of man that He should repent. Has He said, and will He not do it? Or has He spoken, and will He not make it good?" He contrasts Himself with man, with people. Now, you and I, we change our minds and we change our plans all the time. But what God has planned and what God has purposed is fixed. It is sure. It is certain. It does not change. One example, even before God created the world, which was part of His plan, which was part of His purpose, He knew that Adam and Eve would sin against Him when they were given free will and given the choice of obedience and disobedience. And Revelation 13:8 says that Jesus is the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Listen, don't get the idea that God created the world and He had this plan where everything's just going to be great and hunky-dory and live happily ever after. And then the old devil messed up and got Adam and Eve to sin. And so God had to, "Well, now what I'm going to do now? Oh, man, the devil's messed thing up. I got to go to plan B. I got to find out a way to save man." And so he finally sent Jesus to die on the cross. No, he was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. God sees the end from the beginning. Nothing takes Him by surprise. All of His plans were established long, long ago, even before the world was created. He's that kind of a God. And so His purposes and plans will surely come to pass. Jesus said, "I'm coming again." And the prophecies indicate He will rule and reign upon this earth. Well, you can count on it. God's purpose will be fulfilled. His plans will be fulfilled. But someone may say, "Well, yeah, but what about all those times the Bible talks about God changing His mind? God relenting." King James says repent even sometimes. In fact, there's at least 15 times in the Old Testament where it indicates that God relents or repents or changes His mind. Yet all of these texts describe God as changing, not in His plan, not in His being, but simply changing His dealings with man because man has changed. Let me give you a couple of examples. We read in Genesis chapter 6 that man became increasingly corrupt upon the face of the earth. And it says that God was sorry that He made man. But listen, He wasn't surprised by it. It's not that He didn't know it was going to happen. It just grieved Him that indeed man became so corrupt. God did not change any of His plans. God did not change. Rather, He changed His dealings with man and sent a worldwide flood because man had changed. And then we read in the days of Jonah that Jonah sent him to Nineveh. Yet 40 days, Nineveh shall be destroyed. Now that was the purpose and plan based on the righteous wrath of God. But what happened? From the king down to the peasant, they all repented, and so God changed His course of action and spared them for a generation or two. Again, God did not change, but man changed, and therefore God's dealings with man changed. Friend, if you'll repent of your sin and trust in Jesus, God's wrath, which currently abides upon you, according to the Word of God, will be lifted from you. But you must do your part, and God will change His dealings with you. And so His purposes do not change. And then finally, His truth does not change. I've already alluded to this to some degree. But you know, this is another area where God and man are so different. Have you ever had to eat your words? I think most of us have. All of us have. You know why? Because someone confronted you with stubborn facts. And you just had to, I was wrong. Yeah, what I said wasn't right. You know, God never has that problem. God's Word is always true. His Word never changes. His truth never changes. Isaiah 40 verse 8 says, "The grass withers and the flower fades, but the Word of our God stands forever." Likewise, in Psalm 119, 89, "Forever, O Lord, Your Word is settled in heaven." Your Word is settled in heaven. God's truth, God's Word is fixed. It is settled. It endures forever. That is the Word of our God. And so, since God's truth never changes, then, again, what He promises is true and can be depended upon and will never change. God promised in Romans 10:13, "Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Folks, that was a promise in the Old Testament, quoted by Paul in the New Testament, and it's still true today. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You can count on the promise of God because He never changes and His Word never changes. God has given many promises about prayer. Wonderful promises. "Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened." Well, if God never changes, His promise never changed, you can still claim those promises in prayer. And once again, I call your attention to James 1:17. "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning." The same God that you saw in prayer a week ago, who answered your prayer then, is the same God that you can talk to today and look to today. There will be no change in God whatsoever. If you had an experience that as a child, that you go and ask your mom or dad, whoever is most likely to say yes, you know. You go to them and you ask them for something. And one day they're in a good mood and they say, sure, you can have that. You can do that. And then you go back a week later and ask them for something similar. No, you can't do that. Well, you know, what's changed? Well, probably their mood has changed, you know. They're kind of a different person at that particular time. Aren't you thankful that God never changes? He's always the same. He always says, cast your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. And nothing has ever changed with God. Yes, we serve a perfect, unchanging God. That is our God. I want to ask you one thing before I close. We read about what God did in the Old Testament. We read about what God did in the New Testament. We read about how God's saints in the New Testament literally transformed their world. In a lot of respects, what I read of Christian believers in the New Testament, I don't see a lot of today. Now, the question is this. Did God change over the last 2,000 years? No. No, we've seen that God has not changed. The same God that worked mightily in the book of Acts is the same God that's with us today. The problem is not with God. The problem is with us. The problem is with our lack of faith, our lack of obedience, our lack of prayer. Listen, God is still the same. And if we will just understand that and believe that what God did then, He can do again today, we can see God do great and mighty things. God is the perfect, unchanging God. Let us believe it and let us act like it. Would you bow with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank You that You are perfect, that You are so perfect You cannot change for the better or for the worse. And we give You glory, we give You praise for the God that You are. And Lord, help us to take these truths and apply them to our lives. Do today what You've done in the past, for You are the same God. And I pray, Lord, that You'll save souls. Anyone that hears this message that doesn't yet know Christ as Savior, the gospel is still the same. And Lord, we have proclaimed it. May souls act upon it, believe it. In repentance of sins, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand as we